We're in Building 25 in the North Wing, third floor.
Yeah.
We are the Enterprise Engineering Center. And basically, we're a customer testing facility whereby we assist enterprise customers with their tests of validating and rolling out their new Microsoft products. Ideally, they're going to their latest generations or the pre-release versions of products, ideally. So in part, we help them validate their plans moving forward, and Microsoft gets to learn from them how they're using our products, what our products need to do in order to be best of breed in their space.
Right.
So if they find any bugs along the way or have any feature requests, we're an advocate for them back to the product teams.
How often are these things used around the year? Or?
Absolutely. We are a year-round facility. We're around for, I'll say, 50 weeks out of the year, with vacations included.
Right.
We do shut down for training a couple weeks of the year, and December tends to be a bit of a wash between product teams being on holiday and customers being on holiday.
Right.
So,
introduce you guys. Who are you guys?
Sure. I'm Jeremy Collins. I'm the project coordinator for the EEC. I sort of serve at the front desk.
Okay.
So when Microsoft field teams, the MCS, the account teams, want to bring their customers in, they'll ping us and I'll kind of start the process.
Right. And?
And I'm Scott Napolitan. I'm a systems design engineer.
Okay.
And once a customer goes through the front door, Jeremy, a front desk, and we evaluate the engagement. They'll get handed off to somebody like me who will work with them to collect their test plan and all their requirements as far as hardware and software goes, and then I'll actually build the thing for them and host them while they're here, and also help set up some and coordinate some meetings with the product teams for people that they want to talk to if there's areas of concern for them as far as any feature to
right.
back up. So.
How many people do they bring here at one time? Do they bring 5?
Well, it depends. Some companies bring a full complement, right down to customers that bring maybe a couple people to do testing. And it really depends on how their IT organization is structured and how big the engagement is.
Right. Now, how do people find out about this? How do companies learn about the opportunities here?
Well, so
do they
right
find
now,
out about it from their salesperson or...
Yeah.
Tell how people get here.
Well, so we've actually done a lot of work, sort of advertising, and getting the word out to the Microsoft field at least. And most customers that come in now come in through the services door, I guess. So it's somebody from the Microsoft account team, whether it's a TAM or engagement manager or MCS,
right.
will contact us via the Ask EEC alias. We're also just went live with a sign-up portal where they can come in and fill out a lot of the information that we ask for right up front.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll do a conference call with them to collect a lot of the information you sort of need to know to give them an instant evaluation.
Why don't you guys give us a tour?
Sure. Right this way.
All right.
The sign's impressive, but the nice stuff's down the hall. So we actually have 5 lab rooms, what we call ECLs, Enterprise Customer Labs, where the customers will actually live during their engagement.
Here's one now.
Oddly enough.
Yeah.
So this is one of our 5, and it's probably our smallest and least favorite because it doesn't have windows, but essentially, glass windows.
It all has windows.
But essentially, this is the home of a customer's engagement.
One of our more powerful servers here.
a compact laptop?
Yeah. Diagnostics, I would hope, are running on that.
That's case.
So generally, for any customer engagement, again, depends on the scope, but a typical, say, Exchange migration for a medium-sized rollout, it may need 30 servers. In a lot of cases, the actual tests will scope down from their full production environment. If they have 1,000 servers or a large number in production, we'll focus them down to a smaller number that we can manage but is still valid for actual tests.
Right.
But we'll put as many of their servers in the data closet in this lab with them, then all these workstations around the lab are KVM, or keyboard, video, mouse, switch stations. So the customer team can sit at any one of those and access any of the machines in their environment.
Okay.
Three of our labs can hold two racks each. We have another two labs that hold three racks each. If a customer has an environment that spans more than three racks, the data center will hold the overflow. All the labs have network switches that tie back into our primary network cable room, and we can patch it in virtually any way that the customer would need.
Right.
We've had engagements that span 14 racks, so there were quite a few that sat.
Now, do they bring their own equipment, or do you guys supply all the racks?
We supply virtually all of it. In some cases, customers have brought their own hardware. Usually it's a server or two. Some of them have sent out a special SAN, storage area network device.
Or switches if they've got, sometimes they've got a switch configuration, and if we were to try and replicate it on our equipment here, it would take 3 days, 4 days maybe to get all the ACLing down and everything. Much easier for them to take one from their environment and bring it in here and put it between, put it just connected to our fabric, and then, you know, they're up in a few hours.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's everything from switches, SAN servers.
Now, how do they know that you guys aren't, you know, looking at their data improperly and stuff like that?
Microsoft standard NDA is required for any engagement, which certainly covers the confidentiality aspect. We also need that in place to cover our gathering of feedback. It's important that all parties are covered with the exchange of feedback so that if a customer suggests a new feature in the product, we're safe to implement it legally.
Right.
But that certainly covers the confidentiality aspect. In a lot of cases, customers will ask that we scrub their information once they leave.
Yeah,
certainly do that, or they'll scrub it themselves. That's fine, too. Comes down to each customer. Some of them will supply us with generic information or sample data. So even if we retain it, there's no... privacy or...
Oh, you want to go this way?
Secrecy. Sure. Some of the other things that we have down here...
Oh, stop here.
On this side. Well, this is actually one of... I call this our longest running engagement. This is an internet service provider that is really only available to Microsoft employees, but that's mainly because it's running on all alpha or beta or as latest generation Microsoft software as possible.
Right.
So the latest ISA, the latest IIS... the latest Service Pack for Exchange 2003, the latest SQL, all that is running on here. There's about 7,000 or so mailboxes, so 7,000 roughly Microsoft employees use this as their own live ISP at home. There's no SLA, so we don't promise uptime all the time. Mainly that's because if a server goes down, we don't want to just reboot it. We want to find out what made it break. It may have been... an IIS bug, it may have been a bug in MOM or some other thing. And like our other customer engagements, it's a full-scale enterprise model that our products can be stress tested on.
So do you guys run this room as well? Or
A portion of our team supports this. There's also some folks on the IIS team. The Corwin ISP team has moved over under IIS, and they support most of this.
Okay.
The network guy still reports under us and supplies networking expertise for our labs as well.
Yeah, the nice thing about having this sort of right on our floor here is that any customer engagement that requires something internet-facing, so they need a publicly reachable web server or whatever it is, they handle that aspect for us because they've got the infrastructure to help us do that. So we can connect a customer's engagement. Let's say they need a DTAP to the internet. They hook that up for us. That runs right into the lab, so we can connect their servers that are one of their application servers needs to talk to a database that's back in a production environment. You can actually set up a VPN for them to do that, so they can get live data feeds if they need them.
Cool.
Right. And then right behind you here is actually part of how we'll set that up. This room is our PNCR, the primary network cable room. So actually all of our ECLs, our customer labs, the data center, the labs which hold our roughly 1,200 client machines, all that ties back into this room here and all the patch panels and switches and such. So this is what allows us to isolate every customer lab. So their environment is all by itself, separate from CorpNet. They can do whatever they want to it. And as Scott mentioned, we can add the internet connectivity as well, whether they just need to VPN back home for email or if they need to reach a web server or a database server for actual tests. There was a customer a couple of years ago now, but one of our favorite war stories, local grocery store chain was testing as part of their pharmacy. They were testing a point-of-sale application or something involving transacting orders from their pharmacy back to the home office. That happens over a satellite. And while we have the capability of simulating complex WAN environments, they actually wanted to use their real satellite. So we put a satellite dish up on the roof, patched it in through a PNCR back to their lab, so their test environment was actually going over the satellite back to their home environment. Wow. They were able to run tests that way.
That's really cool. So you can do a lot of things here for customers.
Certainly, certainly. We've got some hardware solutions, and we have some software solutions as well to simulate complex WAN environments, so slow links, low bandwidth, latency, dropped packets, we can simulate that. We have some big IP boxes from F5 for load balancing. Our core network backbone is by Extreme Networks. We can provide Cisco if that's needed, but Extreme allows us to reconfigure customer networks very easily because we build them up and tear them down fairly frequently. All of our KVM runs through here. We have some application level network traffic analyzing tools.
Pretty impressive.
A lot of things that customers would need in terms of seeing what's going on in their test environment, we can provide.
You know, we are geared more towards the enterprise just because they're looking for an environment that really a big sandbox to play in. We're going to be given that.
Sure.
Without mentioning customer names, what are some of the stories you guys have?
In June or in July, and they were a 600 machine build out. They wanted to test Active Directory and Exchange, and they had a very strange sort of multi-domain. Each school was its own domain and that sort of thing. Configuration that they wanted us to build for them and task them. Had some strange requirements.
Right.
That was a good example of an engagement of large scale that we can do, given enough lead time and that sort of thing. Because there is a level of complexity that does have something to do with the amount of lead time it takes for us to build these things.
Right.
And so that they look like what their actual environment looks like to make it useful.
Yeah. How long is one company here? Do they come out for a couple days or 2 weeks? Or
usually it's about 2 weeks. Okay. It's a customer that's currently here. They're doing some exchange testing for disaster recovery and fault tolerance for geo clusters.
Okay.
So they're looking at a real high-end solution that we've involved some OEMs with from EMC. They've actually come in and sitting in the lab right now. We've got a kit that somebody from EMC has built and provided us with. They can actually simulate a site distance between two SANs. It's called Distance Kit.
Right.
And it's a neat little thing where they actually have 20-kilometer fiber spools, or two 10-kilometer fiber spools, I should say, that plug in. The SANs are actually physically located right next to each other here, but they think they're 25 kilometers apart.
Wow.
And that's thanks to our distance kit, which actually provides a 25-kilometer fiber link.
Wow.
So it's not a latency simulator or anything where you take packets and dump them into a buffer and you wait and then send. It's actually sending them over a real distance. And that's just one of the solutions that a lot of customers feel more comfortable testing against rather than saying, well, this is some sort of hypothetical black box that goes into, it makes them feel a lot better. And they're testing some things with Exchange there, and that's a two-week engagement for them.
So what are these here?
These are SANs. SAN is Storage Area Network.
Okay.
It's basically a very large, highly available array of hard drives. Several different SAN manufacturers, EMC, HP, Ziotech, IBM makes some SANs. But they're basically large storage, several dozen terabytes. It depends on each model, of course. But typically enterprises use them for their Exchange mailbox stores or database storage or other large-scale storage needs. Backup, of course.
How much does one of these cost? Do you have any?
This guy here, actually, on the end, isn't a SAN. That monster is the HP Superdome, which is a 64-bit, 64-way, 64 processor machine from Hewlett Packard that they've graciously donated for us to use for customer engagements. And that's usually for your high-end SQL engagements where customers are looking for a lot.
I thought you played Halo, honestly.
it moves very quickly
for the extensions.
Yeah, the 64-bit version.
It's very slow. Put one of those in.
Yeah, really good video card.
Yeah.
SAN units, certain prices vary by, you know, the amount of storage that you'd have it configured with and the vendor and all that. I want to ballpark them at about $250,000 each.
Yeah, it really does depend on the vendor and the solution. EMC, you know, takes a different approach than Hewlett Packard or than Xyotech in terms of what they offer, where we're not allowed to really express any brand affinity.
Yeah.
Just as long as it supports Microsoft Windows and our platform. There's different levels of SLAs.
But clearly, there's a few million dollars worth of stuff in here.
Absolutely,
it's not for the basement.
No, I think grand total, and this number changes because our hardware kind of comes and goes with hardware refresh programs, and a lot of it is loaned or long-term loan or. Significant discounts and all that, but last time I heard was we had about $25 to $30 million worth of hardware, storage, and servers and clients.
Yeah,
all told.
You know, walking around Microsoft, I had an interview with Ian McDonald, who ran the Windows XP War Room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're in this room, and it has IKEA style furniture, and that's the factory of Microsoft, right? But this is free.
This is
the factory. This is where the investment comes in.
This is more the way I think of it as the racetrack. So the factory is where you build the car, where you design and build the concept car. Here's where you make sure it can perform. Certainly all of our products, we've got the best developers in the world building our products. The product teams test those products extensively and do their very best to ensure that they ship the highest quality product possible. What we are able to provide is, to those product teams, very rich test cases by replicating a customer's environment and putting those products in a simulated real world where they'll ultimately be actually performing.
Right.
In a lot of cases, product teams find that their products are being used or planned on being used which they may not have thought of.
Right.
And that's really why we focus on the enterprise more than other customer segments, is because level of complexity that their infrastructures have really allow for a high level of stress to be put on those products. So
it's an interesting scenario.
Absolutely. So if we can validate that our products work in those environments, then we can only assume and hope that the quality is high enough for smaller and medium business customers as well.
Right. Which, without mentioning a company name, but which market segment has had the most unique problems that you've seen come through here?
That's a good one.
Or unique infrastructure, or
I want to say manufacturing. I don't know.
That would be hard to say. Retail has had some interesting scenarios too. Financial institutions, they have their own set of and usually it's a different problem they're trying to solve a lot of times. If it's in terms of scalability, financial institutions tend to need to scale up a lot.
Yeah.
And they need some real big powerful stuff, which is a space that Windows has been really taking a foothold in lately. Whereas you get some other institutions, or I guess smaller financial institutions, I should say smaller, but banks that have a regional, a lot of branch offices, have a different problem in terms of scale, as opposed to, you know, the New York Stock Exchange or something like that, or NASDAQ, or London Stock Exchange,
right.
Where they have a lot of servers out there, and they test them in the theoretical limits.
Now, do companies come here looking to do comparisons of technologies? You know, like, do they bring their Linux guys in here and say, okay, one room against another, or?
Well, we don't usually have what we like to call bake-offs,
right,
very often here, although we do have, we're looking for more integration scenarios. We do get customers that are, account teams come to us to help them out with the compete situation where they want to show the customer, you know, maybe they have the idea that SQL just doesn't scale the way Oracle does. And we'll stand it up and show them how to do that. Because, you know, maybe they've heard the TPC results say that SQL can perform, you know, X number of transactions per second, but nobody knows how to make it do that outside of the people that built that machine at TPC. So, you know, we bring customers in here, and together with the product teams and the account team, we help them do that.
Right.
So. We've also had at least one engagement I can think of where the customer, I'll say that they're an airline, were porting an application, a flight information management application, from Unix, HP UX platform, onto Windows and .NET. And they found that after they had ported it over, first they found a lot of issues in the old code in terms of buffer overruns and things of that nature that they were able to fix. But then they found that it performed, I forget the number, but call it 30% better or faster on the Windows platform,
really,
than it did on the other platform. So it wasn't so much a bake-off or a shootout per se. We didn't, you know, racetrack them side by side. But the IT team that came out, a lot of them came out, you know, arms crossed and brow furrowed, this isn't going to work or whatever. And they go through the engagement and realize, wow, the Windows or Microsoft platform is a lot better than they thought.
That even shocks me, and I'm a company guy.
It happens. Now, you mentioned Linux. We can talk about this as well. We don't run this ourselves, but we do host the CTAC project, which is under Bill Hilf or Mark Taylor, which is the Linux Compute Strategy end of Microsoft.
Okay.
So we have three racks in the data center, which are basically an entire enterprise model built on open source software.
Right.
So there's Red Hat, there's Open LDAP, MySQL. And it's basically a reference architecture for other product teams to look at and see this is how an open source environment looks like. We don't integrate that in our customer environments, but we do have people on staff with some Linux knowledge.
Yep.
So when you have customer engagements that involve Linux, we can certainly contribute to that. And
yep.
As Scott said, we do look at integration scenarios. So we're not above doing third-party products. Our customers need to provide those, but we'll certainly build them out as part of their environment and see how their products play with ours. And certainly any customer, custom line of business applications that they want to make sure perform on BizTalk or SharePoint or whatnot, we'll certainly make sure that they have that capability.
What's the hottest enterprise product for Microsoft right now? What are people coming in going, man, I'm so happy. Well, okay.
Application products. There's a lot of, we get a lot of Exchange in here. I don't know if we're the best judge of what's selling the most out there, but we certainly get a lot of Exchange customers coming in to test Exchange. Now, that could owe somewhat to the fact that it's such a complicated application to get right and to feel comfortable with installing, especially in an enterprise. And that's why we get a lot of them, but Exchange is definitely one of the top ones we get here.
I mean, there are certainly engagements that happen here where the account team, as a result of the engagement, will write up a case study or a white paper or a KB article.
Right.
And that certainly gets published externally. So certain findings like that will be shared outside. But typically our consumers,
yeah,
are the Microsoft product team. So they're the ones who are learning the most. And then their own product planning sides or user assistance, documentation teams, they can take a lot of these learnings and implement that in the manuals or just in the product, yeah, itself. and that's ultimately what the customer is.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that sort of we get information out there, but it doesn't necessarily like point right back to us.
Yeah.
But we know that it happened here,
right.
Kind
yeah.
of a thing. I mean, things that go into service packs and some of the documentation, but also just, you know, we'll run across articles published in you know some of the trade journals out there, eWeek and InfoWorld and things like that, and find, you know, customer testimonials that we know is information that they uncovered while they're here, and that kind of thing does tend to go out to a bigger audience.
Do you ever work with the eWeeks or Information Week or InfoWorld?
We've done some interviews through here, not Jeremy and I, but
sure, yeah. One other activity that we conduct is tours.
Yeah.
And we do a few different flavors of tours, but we've done press tours. And typically that'll be with our product unit manager, and they'll talk to eWeek or whoever. And it's more of a profile about, you know, Microsoft has this facility for customers. You don't see that in the USA Today or Nightly News, but it is in those trade journals. And then so CIOs, CEOs who read those can find out about us that way.
You want to give us, is there any more to see?
Oh, sure. There's plenty more.
Plenty more.
Just sort of furthering down this road here, what you're looking at are still SAN units.
SAN Alley.
SAN Alley, yes.
Affectionately, sir.
Poke my head in here real quick. If there's no one in there.
There is none.
There's a couple of people in there. We'll show you one of our other customer labs.
Okay.
It's one of our larger ones.
Actually, the one we were in is the only one that's open.
There's five open.
Oh, actually, you might be right. Five might be out.
Sure.
So these are more SANs?
These are simply racks of servers. I couldn't tell exactly what flavor they are. Compact.
Those are
HP. HP servers. We have a wide array of classes of servers. We have dual proc servers, quad procs, some 8-way servers from mainly HP and Dell at this point. And the numbers escape me, but we have a few hundred of them.
507.
Roughly.
Rounded up to the nearest server.
507 32-bit machines, commodity hardware. We had an ES7000 here for a while. It isn't here anymore. That doesn't include the Superdome. Doesn't include some of the 64-bit equipment that we've got that we've gotten in recently. Because we're starting to get more requests for that. Customers that are looking for more memory headroom. Want to test on some 64-bit stuff.
Do you have any stories about features or things that the product team has changed based on what they've seen with customers here?
In terms of full features, mainly the kinds of feedback that we get from customers who on that angle, I'm thinking of some of the events where we'll do, it's what we call a mega event, where a single product team, say mom, hosts an event where they bring in 30 customers. Normally we're looking at one customer and several technologies. This is one technology and several customers. And that's typically at an earlier process or an earlier milestone in their product. Where they're Right. So they're looking for feedback on the UI or basic feature functionality, things of that nature. So in those examples, the customers would say, this is great, but I should be able to click here, or there should be a menu over here when I click that. The ISA product team did an event with us as well where that was, I guess there was a lot of feedback generated from that one.
Right. We actually found out
these machines here.
Just more of our servers, part of the 507. You know, again, it's a mix of Dell and HP. One note I always like to make here, these racks don't necessarily stay here. It's a fairly fluid room. So in between engagements, we'll build the racks out. In other words, we'll reinstall the operating systems, install the applications, et cetera. If the servers are sitting here, at that point, then our project team will install everything on them, and then they'll unplug them from the overhead network and power tray and physically push the rack down the hall into the lab where that customer will be, hook the network back up, and off it goes. When that engagement's done, they may leave the rack in there while they build it out and do the same thing, and then it's kind of a musical rack environment.
Which is what
must make the local power companies pretty happy, huh?
I guess so.
Superdome alone does that.
Yeah,
oh, really?
They consume a small residential block's worth of power, just the Superdome.
I like to make the joke that the unit itself is cooled by the fan, the dial of the power meter.
Uh-huh. Just hook some fan blades on it. That adds to the cool.
Wow.
So,
cool.
One thing we wanted to show you was a customer lab, only one really available right now that we can show you.
Okay.
That's way down at the end of our hallway.
All right.
When we were first built in early 2002, we had three labs originally built. And at that point, we were still brand new. There wasn't a whole lot of demand for us or knowledge of us at that point. And as a year or so went on, we had more and more successes and word of mouth got out, there was a lot more demand to do more engagements, so we ended up building out two more labs. And as we did so, we built some larger labs. This is probably our largest, Lab 5. So this is a better example than the first one that we showed you,
right,
of the customer's home. In this case, you've got three racks wide. Customer has physical access. They need to do power off or CD installs and things like that. Otherwise, we try to keep them from going deaf and freezing.
Yep.
But once again, they have the KVM stations around, and these rooms have windows, so people feel like they're in a much nicer environment.
So they can see the rain outside.
Exactly. One nice thing we have.
It is that nice day today, but.
So. Yeah, Avasant was nice enough to provide us to donate our KVM over IP solution, so we can actually, from any one of these terminals, access any one of the servers that are part of their environment without incurring any of the RDP overhead from terminal services or anything like that. So it's just like they're at the terminal.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff.
Yeah, we like it. And there was an engagement that wrapped up in here just on Friday.
Yeah, electronic board.
They're already building out for the next one starting on Monday. So our project teams have gotten very efficient at wrapping up an engagement, collecting all of the data that they need to, and then turning the room and the hardware over to the next project team so we can do almost back-to-back engagements.
Right.
It really does depend on the scope.
Right.
If the scopes are of reasonable size, we can turn them around fairly quickly.
So one of the things is we get a lot of people pinging us internally about advice on ADS and RIS and how do we do this or that. And the funny thing is...
What is ADS and RIS?
Automated Deployment Services. It's, it doesn't ship with Windows, but you can download it for free with... licensing is free with Windows. People that say, well, you guys have got to be the deployment experts. The problem is that, we build a different network, every 2 weeks or, every 3 weeks. So our infrastructure changes so much that a lot of the stuff that applies to them is just not what happens here. So it's constant motion.
And RIS, Remote Installation Services, if I have that acronym right, we employed that probably... the most in terms of how, from our own internal build network, that's how we push various OS images onto the servers. And then we'll, of course, make special images if there's certain applications that need to be installed. So if you have a 200 server environment and they all need the same image on them, we'll have the one image and then you can RIS it out to all 200.
So if we need to push an OS down to 100, 200, 300 boxes, we pretty much do it from RIS.
Oh. Cool. Is there anything else you guys want to tell me or show me? Or?
Well, as far as the facility, that you've seen quite all of it, but at least the best parts of it. That's pretty much what we're all about is once again, really doing these two things. One, providing the customer the venue to... practice their deployment or migration plan, gain the confidence that it's going to work, or go back to the drawing board if they have to do that. And second is to learn from Microsoft, to really learn how customers are using our products, how they should be performing better if they're not, finding any bugs and feature requests and things of that nature. And ideally, we impact the products that haven't shipped out yet. Yep. So if we have customers looking at UConn, ultimately they'll look at Longhorn. We'll be able to validate those products against this real-world environment or a simulated real-world environment and increase its quality before it even goes out the door. So the notion of waiting for the next service pack will hopefully go away.
Yeah. I think we've got something like a 90% success rate at reducing deployment times or something like that.
Yeah.
Or no, it was 100%.
100%, an average of 9 months accelerated deployment time.
Just by visiting here and working with you guys.
Just by making sure that it works here, yep.
They can identify the risks to deployment that much quicker, find the gotchas, the things that they were, you know, a lot of companies would sort of end up in analysis paralysis about, and debate over, you know, over 3 to 4 months. They can get solved in 2 weeks.
Wow.